Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, May 13th, 2017. We are grateful that you decided to join us today. It's 15:04 in Lusaka, Zambia, 16:04 p.m. in Kampala, 9 p.m. in Western Australia, and 9 a.m. in Eastern, on the East Coast of the USA. And thank you for joining us today as we are going to be talking to our colleagues and friends from the Uganda North American Association. We'll be talking about a health project and building of a hospital that is going on there in the part of, I believe it's the eastern region of Uganda. Also, before we begin our show, to the people of Zambia, and particularly the people, the Kapwepwe family, a legend in our freedom struggle independence, Mrs. Salome Kapwepwe has been put to rest, and I believe probably the ceremony could have just ended a few hours ago. And that is what is happening there. We shall talk about that probably the last 5 minutes of our show. But today we are in talking to our colleagues from Uganda, from the Uganda North American Association. I am your host, Nathan Nkama, and welcome to the show. Pianki, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan, and the rest of my compadres. Nathan, the weather is so nice here.
Excellent. It is nice, too, in Dallas. Shiny. It's very bright. The sun came up early in the morning. Uncle Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
How is Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, it's raining right now, but, you know, I can take the weather. It's nice and cool, but it's raining.
Okay. All right. That's good. We have, Bianchi, we're talking to our colleagues today from the Uganda North American Association. They are doing a project in eastern region of the country of Uganda. And we shall. This is just to, it's a partnership to try and help them with a fundraising project, which they call Buy a Bridge. One of the team members, I believe, is here. He's a friend. He's also based in Dallas, the Executive Secretary, Peter Mkwinya. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Nathan. Thank you for
having
me.
Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you.
Excellent. I do not know whether 703 is Michael or Mande. They are not using the numbers you gave me. They are 7035802. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Michael. And
Michael.
I did have to get up and get into an office where I can have your full undivided attention. That's why I'm using the office phone.
I appreciate that, Mr. Kimbugwe. It's a great initiative on your part.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Welcome to the show. We're looking forward to this discussion. I believe Mr. Atigo will join us at a certain point, Peter.
Mike, have you heard from him?
Yeah, I do apologize. His young one wasn't feeling that well this morning, but he does hope to join us. He's kind of working out details to see a doctor this morning, but he hopes to join us shortly after he gets that part sorted out.
Okay, that's fine. Family is very important. Family first. Michael and Peter, thank you for joining us. And for those of you that are listening online or those of you that have joined us by calling into the live show, I want you to know that as we are talking, I always like to encourage people, Michael, to follow what we are talking about by going to the website of the leaders of the organization. Now, this is Uganda North American Association. The website is www.unaaorg. I want everybody to go to that website, on the home page, you are going to see support a struggle to end fistula in Uganda, and the details are there. This is what we are going to be talking about. Michael, my first question to you is that Uganda North American Association, I believe you are the person in this association, you deal with finance, and you are the co-chairperson for this project. Why did your association decide to get involved with this, and how long has this been going on? Before we explain to the people what fistula is.
Oh, thank you, Papa Nathan. Yes, you're absolutely right. I am the Director of Finance for UNA. And as an organization, we've been blessed to have members across the U.S. and across North America as a whole. The way we joined this project, or how we got started, is one of our members from the Seattle region has already had a healthcare system where she's providing healthcare for women who are, you know, maybe not so privy to the best hospitals, the low income that typically live on less than a dollar in the eastern region, rural region as a whole. Okay. So she decided to start a fistula hospital, to build a hospital specifically for women to treat women with this condition. When UNA heard about the project, we immediately sprung into action. We wanted to be part of it. We wanted to see what we could do as the diaspora prism, if I could put it, to help our own people in Uganda. And specifically, you know, a lot of gets centered around the capital city, but you find that more people are suffering in rural areas where one could have a toothache but doesn't even have 50 cents to go see a doctor for that toothache, you know? So something like this, where one of our members is already sprung into action, it was a no-brainer that we just had to spring in and put our hands together, put the campaign together to raise up and bring up this, you know, treatment that would be highly, highly needed across the Ugandan and all of East Africa as a whole.
Excellent. And I'm glad, Michael, that you've pointed out that everything goes place around the capital. It's on this forum, my colleagues here who are regular contributors, they will tell you that part of our objective here is to promote investment and development in rural areas of Africa. Explain to our listeners what fistula is.
So fistula is I'm trying to really find a nice way to sum it up. It is a condition that comes about when a lady or woman, obviously, is in prolonged labor, okay, during maternal birth. And basically what happens is the area between their birth canal gets ripped, where they would then become, once that area is not repaired or surgically repaired, really that's the only option, okay, they become incontinent for the rest of their lives, basically, okay? Meaning that if they need to go pee, the urine just comes through, the feces just come through. So they end up in a situation where, because of the hygienic aspect of it, they get outshunned by the families, relatives, and they become an outcast of the community, okay? Everyone knows. No one would want to be around someone who isn't smelling as well as they wish they could. But again, this is a condition that comes about, you know, out of their love for the, you know, society and trying to bring a child about into society. Now, from a physical standpoint, yes, it's bad, but I tend to want to think of the mental capacity to that end, okay? When you are, have had your family, maybe you are a first-time mother, very loving, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, to bring a child about in this world, you go through this condition. Now all of a sudden your husband doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want anything to do with you. They want you to go, you know, leave 2 miles away, and you're now in isolation. So this is what really touches a lot of us, in that we all have, whether it be mothers, sisters, you know, cousins, that it can happen to any of us. It can happen to any woman out there, okay? It isn't that, hey, you are greater than this, or you can push a baby out without any complications. It can happen to anyone. And when you really begin to look into rural areas whereby they don't have access to the best medical care, you know, someone in the capital city, oh, they would just say, okay, so let's just do a C-section. In these rural areas, such option isn't widely available. So it is, you know, young lady, we're going to need you to, you know, toughen up, push, push, push. She's in labor for 9 hours, 10 hours, and before you know it, you know, she's now incontinent. So she's left with not only a baby to feed, isolation from the community, okay? And those are the toughest things. So building this hospital was really a no-brainer, that it could happen to any of us. I still have family there. I know a lot of my colleagues do. And who knows? Maybe my family in Kampala would need the best health care, and this will be the hospital closest to them. So, yes, sir.
Excellent. Excellent. Peter, let me come to you. You are the executive secretary of this, of the Uganda North American Association. I know Mike has already alluded and pointed out that everything happens in the capital cities. We know this for every African country, for that matter. I want you to talk about why Soroti in particular, Peter, and how is the project going? Tell us, people, this is a fundraising. We want to make people aware of what is going on. We're trying to raise money. We are not ashamed to say that. So talk to us about why Soroti in particular, and what should people do if they would like to contribute towards this?
So the reason we joined the project in Soroti is because the lady that started the project herself has been working in Soroti, and she started by going to the villages, because again, as Mike said, this is a disease whereby the community, the whole community, is gonna abandon you. They don't be around you, because every time, you know, the control system that controls the urine, and forgive me for my language, the feces, has been broken. So you have no control. Urine is just coming, feces are just coming. Nobody wants to be around you. So women would fear to come to the hospitals to be checked out, to know exactly what is going on. So what Alice did was to go to the villages, start talking to people, and educate them about the disease so that they can go and seek help. And she started getting partnerships with different hospitals where she would take these ladies to get treated. Now, the problem with that is the hospitals can do the surgeries, but they don't give the aftercare. They don't give the aftercare, the after-surgery care that is required. So these women are sent back to the villages where they came from, and at the end of the day, really, they become worse off than when they got the surgery. So she started thinking and talking to different people, and then she decided, you know what, let us build a hospital. And they bought a piece of land in Soroti, and so the land has been purchased, the designs have been drawn, and so that's the reason we joined, and that's the reason the hospital is in Soroti. But this is not the last hospital that we are intending to partner with, to build. She has a vision of building different hospitals in Uganda and in Africa, because again, there are very few hospitals that provide the holistic treatment that is required for somebody to be really healed, you know, from this disease. So the hospitals that we are talking about are going to be holistic. So they treat everything from the surgery to the after-surgery care, and also they're going to be a place whereby women can easily go and give birth. And so that's what we are looking at. It's starting in Soroti, but this is just the beginning. We can come to Zambia, God willing. You never know.
Mm.
You know, this disease that is affecting a lot of women in Africa.
Mm.
In the U.S.,
it's true.
It was, in the U.S., it was eliminated a long time ago. But in Africa, it's still there. And every country, now, people don't know about it because, as you and I know, and all the people on this talk know, is when diseases that we don't understand come,
mm-hmm.
we always want to, oh, my wife has been bewitched, my mom has been bewitched. That's where we run to. That's what happened even with HIV when it just came. And so people don't have the knowledge. You know, they don't have the knowledge about the disease. So
this is very important for all of us to get involved. It's not a Ugandan project. It's a human project. What's the website, and what should people do if they want to contribute or donate?
The website, if you go to UNAA.org, on the first page, as soon as you open the website, you're going to see those two pictures, and there's a link there which says join. Click here to join.
Now.
You just click and it's going to take the link where you can make a donation or buy a brick, and you receive a certificate from us thanking you for your donation. And if you give more than $200, then your name is going to appear on a brick or on a section, the founder's section in the hospital.
Wow, that's amazing. How far is the project? Where do things stand right now? What would you say are the immediate needs, and what is urgent, Peter? What needs to be done right now?
I think right now what needs to be done is for people to go on the website and give a donation, because our goal was to start construction this year, and so with the campaign that started, but we've been doing fundraisers in different cities, where we go to a church and fundraise, or go and just put a party in a house and fundraise. We are working with Telewood, which is in Uganda, founded by Alice. And then there is another organization called the Uganda Festival Fund, which is based in Seattle, Washington, founded by Sharon. And so we are working with those people, and we go to different cities and do fundraisers. But for UNA as an organization, we started a campaign of buy a brick. And our goal is to raise $100,000 by September the 3rd. That's our goal. And so
I'm looking at the website right now. If you go to the UNAAORG link, like Peter said, and join, it will take you to a page that gives you all the details, the story. The amount, the target is $100,000. They are now at $3,550. And Peter, I'll come back to you. Michael, Peter has mentioned something that is very typical of African, where instead of us addressing the issue and trying to understand the matter, we quickly turn to mysticism and the witchcraft. Apart from, you know that that also presents another project in itself or another challenge. What is being done to educate the people that this is not witchcraft? It's just what word can I use? It's just a medical condition that needs attention.
That is correct. And just like Peter alluded to, part of this is the education part, the sensitizing the community as a whole, okay? It would be extremely difficult to just put up a structure into a rural community.
Yeah.
Whether you call it a hospital or not, okay? Without actually sensitizing the folks around that, hey, this is an actual problem that comes about when you try to deliver a baby, you know? And with that holistic approach, we begin, you know, creating small, going village to village. I like to call it a village to village because, and I reverse it back and say it's going to raise a village. It's going to take the village to raise a child. Now, can also the village understand the woman that has to bring that baby about? That approach has been a campaign and it works. It continues to be a campaign and it works in that sensitizing women and making them understand that, yes, while there may be a lack of understanding certain medical conditions, okay, mm-hmm. each one has been studied and this is what the issue is and this is how it can be treated. To give you specific stats, okay?
Yes.
Like Peter said, in America, fistula isn't an issue anymore. That is pretty much a bygone. It's just like malaria here. If you show up with malaria, people look, they just want to take you to CDC and study you for 3 weeks so they kind of get an idea what it's like. In Africa, it affects about 4 out of every 1,000 births.
Wow.
That said, you are literally looking at, across the continent, you could be looking at close to 10 to 20,000 every month being affected by fistula. In Somalia alone, there are 3 hospitals in just Somalia, okay?
Yes.
That are dedicated to curing fistula. That is how serious it is. And the approach that we're trying to do and we're pushing to do on this campaign is, okay, can we begin the ground level and put, you know, hospitals in centers? Maybe we have one in Uganda. Next one we will go, you know, Zambia, like that, and say maybe every 2 or 3 countries have a specialized hospital for fistula and the aftercare. Because, like Peter said, it's one thing to get surgically repaired, but the emotional treatment that comes after is harder.
Yeah.
That mental, you know, capacity and being able to reengage this individual back into a community that has outcasted them, I think is the hardest thing, that more so than anything else.
Mike, I'm glad you said that, because let me confess something to everybody. I learned about this watching a documentary on one of the channels, which is called KERA. I'm sure all of us in North America will identify that. And it was addressing the project of fistula going on in Somalia. That's I told Peter when we were preparing for this interview or discussion, that's how I got to learn about fistula. And I was saying to myself, oh my goodness, things like this happen. As we continue our discussion, everybody, you're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our featured guest today is Michael Kimbugwe, who's the Director of Finance and also co-chairperson for the Fistula Project in Uganda. They are, and Peter Mukonya, Executive Secretary of Uganda North American Association. I have my regular colleagues here and contributors on this show. Pianki, you are listening to Peter and Michael talking about the Fistula Project in Uganda. Where does this put us as an African diaspora? You are always pushing us and challenging us together with Dr. Patrick here, that there's a lot to do in Africa. I want you to give your comments on this, Pianki.
Well, I think that you should solve your own problems, but I think it should be stepped up one more level. Uganda is full of natural resources. Those natural resources should be exploited into a profitable venture where the profits goes towards the running and operation of these facilities that you're trying to fund through donations. I oftentimes see this method of acquiring capital to run projects, and at some time in the future, they fall way short and things go awry. Exploit those natural resources that you have. Create a profitable enterprise. Let the profits not only provide revenue for the expenditures to operate the venue, but also the profits can go toward these facilities.
Excellent. Peter, Michael, you want to respond to that comment? Is UNA doing anything, any projects?
I can respond. Now, one of the things that is being looked at is how can the hospital itself generate the resources needed to continue with the operations. But for now, what we are looking at is how can we construct the hospital. On this talk radio listening, no, and I'm sorry to say this, but most of the leaders on the African continent have really failed us. As our brother said, we have resources. But when you look at a disease like this, with 200,000 cases that are waiting to be treated, and then 1,900 new cases every year being added on, and yet the government is really not doing anything. We as a people, this is Africans in the diaspora helping themselves to help people back home right now. How can we that have been given the opportunity to come here help those that are unable to cross and come here? Because again, I don't have to worry about my wife if I'm in the U.S. getting this disease, because it's just a 911 call and they'll come and pick up, take her to the hospital. Or the doctors are going to tell you when you're supposed to have the baby and you'll take your wife to the hospital. But people in the villages that are used to even give birth by themselves, those are the people that really we are looking at. And so how can we, and this goes to every issue that we have in Africa, how can we as Africa come together and solve problems? Because for a long time, we have said, you know what, I'm in the U.S., I'm in Europe, I'm where, I'm in Canada, so whatever happens back home doesn't really matter. You know, this goes to education, this goes to health, the environmental issues, this goes to every other issue that is there that we are facing. How can we come together and put our heads together and solve those issues? This can be like doctors coming together. We have medical missions. You know, we send doctors to Uganda to go under medical missions. And so, you know, we have a group of professors that are helping design curriculums for the kids there. And so we, as people in the diaspora, be it from Zambia, be it from Kenya, Tanzania, Nigeria, we need to find a way of helping change the narrative, helping change how our countries and where our countries are going back home.
Excellent. Michael, you want to add on? Basically, the challenge here is that what projects or profitable ventures are going on in Uganda to try and help channel funds or profits coming from the whatever projects to this project? Because according to Yankee, is challenging us and encouraging us, instead of being what you call it, fundraiser or donation oriented, we invest in capital ventures.
I think Peter has summed up most of it. And today, I like to think, you know, from the perspective that the doctor gave, or challenging, you know, us as Africans and Africans from the diaspora to, you know, tap into resources that the continent have. Truth be told, it is the richest continent in terms of resources.
Yes.
But you flip that coin, it is also the poorest continent on the globe. How could that be? Each of us has some type of a smartphone. Believe it or not, your smartphone can't work unless you have a component that comes from Africa. Really? But again, where Peter has said, you know, our leaders have failed us on the continent as a whole. Okay? Now, we as those from the diaspora can look at this and say, let us challenge those politicians to do more for the people. That has been tried, tested by many. None has come through successfully. Or we can bind our hands together and really begin working on projects directly that affect the people. And this is where it leaps us into the Fistula Hospital in Soroti. That
excellent.
Rather than taking our rather than, you know, pushing with a lot of energy to change the mentality of those in the political no circles, whose main source is how much can I get for my own family?
Mm-hmm.
What if we emulated these examples by raising up as those of us in the diaspora and putting a hospital right into their own laps? Maybe at that point they begin thinking, hey, we've been doing this all wrong. You know, we do have to care for the people that we serve as a whole.
That's very true. Go ahead.
I think one of the issues that we face in Uganda is the fear of what will happen. You know, it's different from Zambia, but in Uganda, we've never had a peaceful handle of power. So people are kind of reluctant to put a lot of resources as far as investment. For example, the government has just started the diaspora bonds, but people are hesitant in doing that. You know, we have projects that the government has come to us because, again, UNA is a big organization, and we have a voice that they listen to. You know, there was a company they were selling, and they wanted the diaspora to come in and see if we can buy it. But we couldn't because, again, that fear, when you go to people, hey, we are looking for this money to invest in this venture, they're going to be like, how sure am I that this is going to work out? What if something happens? It has always happened whereby a coup just happens and everything changes. So that fear is still there. Now, Zambia, that's a different thing. You guys politically are mature, to say the least, whereby you've had peaceful handover power from one president to another one. Now, Uganda is kind of a little bit different. So that's why we are going this route. But the hospital itself, we are thinking of ways how it's going to raise its own money after it's built.
Okay. Excellent. Let's talk about one of the people who is very, very strong in advocating or pushing for this is a lady called Fiona Nalubwama. Fiona, Peter, you sent me this story, is a journalist by career. How much is Fiona doing? How much is since she was a patient. She had this challenge, and we were supposed to have Fiona here. How much is Fiona's story helping boost this project?
Fiona is working with Alice in Uganda now. As far as this project, the Buy a Brick campaign, is concerned, this is entirely for UNA to raise money. And so, but Fiona is working with Alice. Alice was the one that was supposed to come on. And what happened is she came here and studied in Washington. Really.
Uh-huh.
And then she lost two of her friends in Uganda. You know, and she decided, you know what, I'm going to go back. Because she did public health. And she went back to Uganda, went to Soroti, because that's where she has lived. This is a rural area, and she started the education. So when you go to Soroti, they have changed the narrative where people know that this is a disease. This is not witchcraft. And that's because of the education that she has done, sending out midwives in the villages, you know, and in the villages to educate people. So Fiona and Alice are working together, and this project is not going to cost $100,000. It's $750,000.
And
so we are just giving a small part of what is required.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we made commit on as an organization. Now, if we fundraise more, all the money that is going to be fundraised on this campaign is going to go to the project, because it's going straight to the Uganda Fistula Fund by run by Sharon. So we are just helping push the campaign, and this is the idea that we came up with.
Excellent, excellent.
And,
that is excellent.
And just to quickly piggyback on that, I think one area that Miss Fiona has been instrumental is actually using her platform as a journalist to sensitize Ugandan as a whole about this issue. Now, those in the capital, yes, they know they can get treatment, but it's a different story once you begin getting out into rural areas. So her voice has really added a lot to the education aspect of what is fistula and how it comes about and where people can actually go and get help. And this is really not bewitched. Please don't fall into the, your great-great-grandmother had it, so it must be the, you know, that lineage of story that goes down in every community. So she has been instrumental in using her voice through journalism to try and sensitize Ugandans as a whole.
Excellent. Excellent. This is not a Ugandan problem. This is a human problem. This is a human challenge. This is an African challenge. And to my colleagues that have called in, please, and everybody listening online, you can go to the Uganda North American Association website. It's very simple, www.unaa.org. And click, you are just going to see there the Buy a Brick project, and it will take you to youcaring.com, which is the Terrawood support struggle to end fistula in Uganda, and that is what is going on there. Peter, if people want to, there are many ways to support, I believe so. What else can we do? I mean, as a community, what else can we do? We can donate funds. What else can we do? What else are you guys doing that we should get involved and know about?
Available to come and, you know, speak and come and, you know, because, again, I work a lot with pastors, you know that. And so if there is any ministers that want to do a fundraiser, help out with the project, if an organization comes up and gives maybe $2,000, those organizations' names are going to be there as, you know, just like you and I went to DBU, just like DBU does it, whereby you have a plaque or you have your name on there as one of the people that helped build this hospital. And so everybody that is going to go to that hospital is going to know that, you know what, this church or this organization has helped. And just, you never know, next year somebody from Zambia may want to start this kind of the same project. We are here to give kind of advice on how to go about it. And so your organization, anybody that wants to do, if you, even if it's just a house fundraiser, you call a few friends and they come, we can come by and just talk about it. I live in Dallas. Mike lives in D.C., Washington, D.C. We have a group almost in every kind of city, big city in the U.S. We have people in Chicago. We have people in Seattle, Washington. Actually, with Seattle, you're going to get the founder of the Uganda Fistula Fund attend that because, you know, she's so much involved in this. And, you know, if you're in Austin, we just did a fundraiser in Austin a few months ago. That really was a great success. And so we just, any way you can help will be a great push for us to the finish line. You know, again, our goal is to $100,000.
That's good. Michael, any final words and an appeal to everybody listening?
Certainly. First of all, I would like to send my condolences to all our Zambian brothers and sisters for the loss of I call him a trailblazer, Kakwe. Kakwekwe. Okay?
Kakwekwe.
That, yes, that said, definitely we would love any partnerships like Peter alluded to. We do fundraisers in churches, community outreaches. So if anyone has a church and would like to help with this, we are more than welcome to talk to them. We would, you know, send a team out there to help with the fundraising. And again, like you as a host have alluded to many times during this conversation, it isn't a Uganda problem. It isn't a Zambia problem. It isn't a Somalia problem. It is a human problem. And we have to take care of our own humans. You know, we have to have that apathy to care for one another and try to help one another. And that's really where the campaign comes in. So I definitely encourage everyone to go to www.unaa.org. And right at the top of the page is the Fistula campaign. Donate as you can. You know, even if you only have $5, go on there and just donate that $5. It really helps. Every dollar counts to where we have to get to.
That's right. Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking the time. Peter, you and I are always talking. We shall continue to push this conversation. Michael, it was an honor and privilege. We shall stay in touch. And
thank
this
you, sir.
Partnership is not a one-time thing of you appearing on this show, but we shall continue to do this together for the cause of our African people.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Excellent.
Thank you so
Excellent.
Much.
You are welcome, Peter. Those that would like to donate or participate in this, like Peter and Michael have been sharing with us, you can go to the Ugandan North American Association. Their website is www.unaa.org, and you can learn a lot of information there and participate. There's a lot of things to be done here, and we need to do this for the sake of Mother Africa. These things affect us. It's also got to do with the standards of living and the conditions in which our people in rural Africa are living. All right. In the few minutes remaining, I want to engage my colleagues here who have called in. As you may all be aware, Michael mentioned this, I alluded to this, Zambia lost one of its legends, a freedom fighter, the wife of former Vice President of Zambia, Mr. Simon Mwansa Kapwepwe. These are the people that fought for the independence of Zambia. Mama Salome Kapwepwe, she was 90 years old. Good morning, Dr. Patrick. She was put to rest today in Chinsali, where the whole thing started, the struggle for independence and all these things. Good morning, Titus.
Good morning.
Yes, Titus, as I'm waiting for Dr. Patrick to get himself together here. Mama Kapwepwe, you are one of the founding members of Zambia Block Talk Radio. You know that on this show, we've done a series, some past independence years in October, where we spoke to Malimba Masheke, Mama Kankasa, Grey Zulu, and all those people. Your thoughts on the passing of Mama Kapwepwe, Titus? Those who may not know Titus has grown up in a home which has also been involved in the political life of Zambia. His father was a member of parliament. Titus, talk to us about your thoughts on the passing of Mama Kapwepwe.
Well, may her soul rest in peace. What comes into my mind is how we froze until this time when we hear of the passing. I don't think we did too much of knowing and trying to, you know, reach out. We could have used people like her before their death to find out from their perspective of the struggle and everything, so we could have had something on record other than just going to the children and telling us. Sometimes there's something that we can get directly from the late people.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, when you were doing a show with Kenneth Kaunda,
yes,
he told us how he met with Mbete. I was listening to it yesterday. That kind of piece of history, you can't find it in any book, including what
he may have written.
It comes direct by you just asking a question, or him trying to explain, or if we had a chance for the late, by her trying to explain, we can know a little bit more of either the characteristics of the late Simon Mwansa Kapwepwe from the first person who may have known the other late very well.
Titus, I think we can still do that. I think there's a lot of information in history that spoken from her words as well as documents that she's written. We just need to do the research and get that information out. And she will never pass as long as we keep her in our memory and in our heart. So as every time we mention her name, she lives. I join everyone in our mourning of her passing, and you especially, Titus.
Sure. Mm. I mean, maybe we can try, Nathan, maybe we can try, as much as the idea is still ringing in my head, to try and find out from some other spouses of the freedom fighters, so we can try to get certain things, certain aspects of history from their perspective. We might have people that are still living, you know, the Bulawayos, maybe the mother is still living, the wife, you know, all these other people that fought for independence. I had an opportunity to talk to Mrs. Mainza Chona, you know. Sometimes when you listen to these histories of the Declaration of Independence for Zambia done in Choma, what can those people shed light to tell us about those things? You know, sometimes we just forget. We may remember her when she passes, oh, Mainza Chona's wife, this and that. Then we go to what Dr. Patrick is talking about. There's always trails of some writings here and there. But I still think we can be aggressive where we strategically look at what was their role as their head, as their husbands or spouses were fighting. How did they hide?
Yes.
What did they do? Mm. You know?
You remember, Peter, when we spoke to one of the freedom fighters, Dr. Patrick, and everybody here, Peter, Michael, thanks for staying. When we spoke to Mama Kankasa, oh, by the way, here's the beauty of technology. I am looking at, I think this is the president's personal page, Facebook page, in quotes and quotes. You know, if somebody just runs it for him. Here is something interesting, Titus and Uncle Chisewe here. On the president's page, Dr. Patrick, they are broadcasting live the funeral procession. Apparently, it is still going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. Those of you who are listening, if you go to Edgar Chagualungu's page, you may not be a fan of the president or supporter. I'm just telling you that it's live on the president's page. This has got nothing to do. Somebody who I think likes the page, who's my friend, is sharing this, and I'm watching it. Titus, this is on Ruth Namukwai's page.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't follow the president's Facebook page. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the funeral procession is live on the page, and you can follow that. I just thought that people should know if they are interested in doing that. One of the things, Michael, when we talked to Bayama Batsebwe here, Pianki, when we spoke to one of the freedom fighters called Mama Kankasa, I can actually see her face here. This person taking this live shot seems to be focusing on her. When we spoke to her, She said, this is what she said. You know, the role of women was to look after the men, to cook for them when they were holding meetings, to facilitate, to do the hospitality part. Here's something interesting, Michael. She told us that the current President Kaunda and late Mwansa Simon Kapwepwe, whose wife has just died, were mourning. They said, we cannot relegate the women to cooking and looking after us. They have a role to play in this process. How amazing is that, Michael?
And that is extremely true. I mean, true to the test of time, believe it or not. A lot of people don't think through a lot of what gets said.
Yes.
Very simple phrases. Behind every successful woman is a strong woman. Behind every successful man is a strong woman. People don't never think through it, you know? But women have a much stronger role to play in our society today more than ever. If a country is going to progress, it is incumbent on educating the women coming through. That's a no-brainer. If you want anything done, not to say that our great men can't do it, but our women are the strongest at getting this done. So reducing a woman's role to what our society had it is long past. And I feel Africa is one of the continents that's still lagging behind the rest of the globe in elevating the women to be on an equal platform.
Yeah, we know Bianchi, Uncle Daniel, I'll be coming to you. We are running out of time here. Bianchi, we know historically too. Any major events, I'm trying to remember the name of what it is called. You know, the underground trail where they helped the slaves to escape.
Well, the Underground Railroad.
Yes. Wasn't it the women that were in the forefront of that?
Well, they had one woman I mentioned, and that being Harriet Tubman, who's was famously known. But I want to add one thing also. You made mention of the women preparing the conference for the men as they sat around the table to make these plans. And you speak of adding the woman to that assembly, which I agree. But you also must add another key component to those two, and that's the youth. The youth have to sit at the table as you plan these ventures that they will be responsible for sometime in the future.
Oftentimes,
we make plans today that they will have to live with tomorrow, and they need to know exactly what went down, what was discussed, and what was put in place.
Excellent. We need to go back to this series where we talk to our freedom fighters. Everybody, our time is up. I thank Michael Kimbugwe and Peter Mukunya from the Unaganda North American Association. Coming up is Open Forum. Please call in and let's join Kelvin as he leads us in this discussion. Thank you.